This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling,
here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It is so good to be back with you today. I am so thrilled to be here. People say, what is the Sue Freeze show about? Is it about bugs? Is it about termites? And I said, no, it's not. The Sue Freeze show exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion? I know I am, always. Purpose? How about connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? How does that happen? What happens there where you feel this? Have you ever had like an automatic connection where you meet somebody and you're just automatically connected? What is that all about? How about this one? This is a real tough one. Who are you? Who are you? It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Are you? Are you who you want to be? I don't know about you, but I'm striving for excellence every day. And I am not who I'm going to become. I am who I am today, just like you are who you are. But we have choices every minute of every day, don't we? And those choices determine where we're going and how we're going to get there and who we become. So we have to be mindful about what we're doing and choices we make. Today, I was at church a couple weeks ago, and I met this young man. His name is Lance Brown, and I'm going to give you a little background on him because I think you're going to see that this is going to be a great show today. Very interesting show. Lance Brown has been in the music industry for over a decade. He started in the business as a musician, traveling the world and performing in front of thousands. After leaving the band life, Lance began his career in the music business side by taking a job at Capitol Records, where he worked with bands like Jimmy Eat World, Radiohead, and The Beatles. That one I know. After leaving Capitol, he started his career in music management, working with bands like The Bee Gees, oh, I know them, Meat Loaf, Motley Crue, and Yes, to name a few. Thinking it was time to start his own management company, Lance started One Moment Management, where he found and developed the careers of over 50 recording artists, including Plain White Tees, which later became famous for their number one chart-topping single, Hey There, Delilah. After helping to sell millions of records and having tons of success, Lance put it all down in capital letters and left the business entirely. Wow, that was a big step. My soul was shutting down. There's nothing wrong with having money and being successful. But if that's all you have nothing if God is not at the forefront of it all. Boy, Lance, are you talking. After my son Rylan was born, I started thinking that this anything for success mindset might work in this life, but eternity with God is what I care about. Soon after this rededication and a series of events, Lance now finds himself back in the music industry promoting music to help save souls for the kingdom. He is now one of the co-owners of Dream Records, founded by Dave Hanley of Press Play, and alongside his Dream Music Group family of Tammy Taylor, Gina Hanley, and Dave Hanley, he has helped to start a booking agency called DMG Productions, Dream Merchandise, and just a few months back, Lance restarted his old management company, One Moment Management, where he works with artists with a purpose to save lives for God. Wow, that's quite a resume you have there.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here with us, Lance.
Thank you for having me.
Lance was kind enough to pick me up and drive me here since I can't drive myself yet. I still don't have my leg to where I can drive. And it's been a wonderful time just driving in with you. I mean, I don't think either one of us stopped talking.
Well, good thing we didn't have like a Flintstones car or anything.
Oh, that is true. That is true. But it was wonderful having these conversations. So I'm going to ask you this question first, because this is real strong and close to my heart, is how important do you feel Christian music is to the Christian?
Well, music in general is an amazing delivery. And when the lyrics are very hopeful, have more of a Christ kind of center, I think that the genre, quote unquote, of the Christian music industry is a wonderful encouragement for people that are already Christians. I think for people that aren't Christian necessarily or might be turned off by that, there's a slightly different approach that goes with that. And I'm very aware of that coming from a completely different side where that kind of nature or that genre did not exist in my life. And so I'm very sensitive towards people that might not be willing or accepting of Jesus and God and all of that right off the bat. So I don't necessarily use that term Christian music for my quote-unquote secular friends. I don't even like to say that word necessarily, but more or less like for people that it's just music. It's encouragement. And since music is such a great delivery source, they can vibe off of the sound first, then understand what the lyrics are about. And I think that's important.
Well, as a musician, I'm not really a musician. I taught myself how to play guitar, but I am definitely just, you know, beginning stages of this. But it's a wonderful outlet for me. But you play the lead guitar? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I pretty much played lead or rhythm, you know, depending on what the song was. But yeah, I mean, early on in my life, right after I had graduated from school, I jumped in a group and they started getting airplay on K-Rock and all this stuff. And it was a great sort of thing to have that success that was starting to build in my life. And from there, it just kind of escalated as far as being the music industry and thus. So that's kind of how I started into this business.
A friend of mine who's also been in the music industry, his name is Bill Conine, and I'm hoping he's listening, but he sent me something that was from Martin Luther, and it says, "Next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. It controls our thoughts, minds, hearts, and spirits." Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the reason, and I was telling you this earlier, is there is a very definitive reason why the Book of Psalms is so large. You know, for some reason, God has used music through generations and thousands of years to praise his name. And it's because it's such a encouraging, it opens the hearts, it allows for people to accept the message. And I think that's really important. And that's why music for me specifically, even more now than it was back then, has been such an important part of my life.
Right.
So
we were talking about worship and how, you know, church starts with worship because it gets your heart ready to receive what the Lord has for us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know some people that are close to me that they want to come to church after worship.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no, because worship is like, oh, I just love worship.
Right.
And, you know, listening to the words. And when I'm sleeping or when I'm just getting up or whatnot, there is a song on my heart. And it's usually a Christian song because I use Christian song because I like that music.
Right.
Country and Christians where I'm at. But, you know, and there's so many different musics of that. You know, you've got hard metal, the metal rock, I can't even say what they are really, but the hard ones that I don't like to listen to at all. But that does affect young people or certain genres like country. Some people just cannot stand country. I love country. But Christian music comes in all different, what do you call that? Genres or
forums?
Forums, yeah.
Forums is just fine, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, we have different ages. We have different, you know, everybody likes different things.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, music is you always tie a memory to music as well. I mean,
music,
I can remember most of my life through music.
Right.
And so music is a very powerful way of retaining thought and just memories and, you know, can really help, like I said, open the hearts of people. Because for some reason, and I don't know why that this is necessarily, but the melody and something that comes together, it just kind of stays with you,
it
you
does.
Know? So,
from an advertising standpoint, you know, jingles, they're so important too. Absolutely. Because they kind of stay in your head.
Right.
You know? I mean, I can rip off a whole bunch of those jingles, you know, right, just because they get in your memory. And what a great way to memorize scripture.
Right.
You know, you can memorize scripture through like Turn, 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 Ecclesiastes. How many know that song? You know,
right.
You're listening to the Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. The phone number here, if you'd like to call in and talk to Lance or talk to me about, you know, a situation or how music has changed your life or just anything, if you'd like to talk about anything, we do have Melissa, my producer, who will screen the call to make sure it's pertinent to what we're talking about. Phone number again, 888-995-5552, and we welcome your calls because this is a live show and we'd love to talk with you. So be sure and call. Also, we have SueFries.com, and it's Sue Fries, one word, spelt like fries. And when you go on that, you can hear other podcasts that have been on the show in the past. You can watch Sue Fries TV. It's got videos on there. It's got all kinds of information on there, and you can connect with us there. You can also go on to Helping Hands, which is on the Sue Fries. It's one of the choices up there. And you go on that, and we have different things from different shows that could help you or help a friend or a family member. So a little commercial on the side there just to know that Sue Fries, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Go on there and check out past podcasts. This one will be on if you know somebody that might want to hear this later and you can't get a hold of them right now to tune in. You can have them tune in later. So that's great. What is the Dream Music Group? What is that?
Well, the Dream Music Group is started with Dave Hanley. It was started as a record company. Dave, at the time, was leading worship for the Dream Center here in Los Angeles. And he, the group was called, or the worship team was called Press Play. And just out of a want to actually get the word and the message of what they were saying out of the church and more out into the kind of more the mainstream and everything, they did a deal with Universal Music Group Distribution, and thus kind of a label was formed, and that was Dream Records. And so a few years down the road, basically, there's just been a lot of other businesses that have formed. We have grown in nature. We have a booking agency now, as you said earlier. We have a merchandise division where we provide merchandise services for, you know, most of our bands and outside bands. Same thing with the booking agency. The management company, you know, manages several artists. It just kind of that whole kind of conglomeration has turned into what is the Dream Music Group basically today. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. So.
Yes, it sounds like it. When we were driving in, we were talking about how, goals. I asked you, I said, you know, where do you see God leading you? Where do you see, the next step in your life? And you had an interesting statement to make there. I said, oh, that's so good for the show. So,
right. Okay.
So let's go back to that conversation a little bit.
Sure. Well, growing up and trying to find myself, I was always looking for a plan, and I was always looking for something way ahead. And something about that for me always had an uncomfortable feeling, because it was almost as if I was taking everything that I could onto my own shoulders. Now, if I'm speaking to a believer, everybody knows that you are supposed to give that back to God. And that's a very important thing in our own lives, because as Christians, we understand that we can't do everything ourselves. And there is a comforting and a confidence that comes with knowing that we can relax, we can be still, and we can just kind of sit up in confidence and know that God will take care of us. I have developed that over a long period of time, trying to take everything on myself. And because I have done that for so long in my life, it's just nice to kind of relax a little bit and just understand that no matter what happens in my life, it's going to happen no matter what. And I have to just keep my eye on Him, and it will just take care of itself. I mean, it really is, I think, that easy. Even if things get a little bit more difficult, I think that's when we need Him too as well.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's the only time we reach up and ask for His help, instead of asking Him to be in our lives every minute of every day.
Absolutely.
Walk alongside me, Lord, you know, show me my steps, you know,
Absolutely.
Guide my steps and show me where I'm supposed to go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Search me and know me, O God.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
So.
This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. I sound repetitive, but sometimes people are just tuning in, so we want to give them a chance to get involved with our conversation here. So one thing I really liked, Lance, is first of all, I met you one time for probably a blink of an eye, about 10 minutes. Hey, we exchanged numbers and said this would be really good. Then you talked to my assistant, Daniel, who sent you over the information, and then we ended up calling yesterday, and I kind of invited myself into your car and said, hey, would you mind driving me, because I can't drive, and you said, no problem, and I went, great, don't feel obligated, but, and so we were driving in the car, don't know each other at all, really, but we have a common denominator, we have the Lord, and so we started talking about your life growing up. You were raised in a Christian family, and you went to Christian schools, private schools. So you always had that put into you as far as the Lord and whatnot. And but you said that you don't, you haven't always lived like the straight life. You know, you've kind of gone off your own path. And you said that that God's kind of like a father, just like you are a father now, and we'll go into that, because that was a wonderful story that you said, and I would love for my listeners to hear about how that felt. But you said that you got off, you get off track. You go ahead. I like your words better than mine.
I mean, we're human beings, and we are and have the ability, Christians and non-Christians have the ability of free will, whether we like it or not. God kind of allows us to do our thing. Mm-hmm. He wants us to freely go back to him, though. That's the point. And but we're not puppets. We're not slaves. This is not that. It's a relationship that you choose to have. It's not a religion. There is not rules in the sense of man-made ideas or anything in that sense. So, but as Christians, we go up and down, and I know that I'm speaking to somebody right now, because there is a realness to us. There is a very true nature. There is nothing that God does not know about us, and we just don't share it with ourselves. And I've gone into very high highs. I've gone into very low lows, and I've made decisions that I regret, certainly, but the whole point of all of this is that there's grace. We don't have the ability to reach God by doing X, Y, and Z. There is nothing that we can do to make him, in this sense, happy without having that salvation. There is grace in that. And the fact that we can mess up and still come back is just a really encouraging thing, because I know that I've found a lot of solace in that, despite even my own shortcomings and fallacies as a human being, for sure. So,
you said in your bio, my soul was shutting down.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, I mean, that's part of life. I think that you make a series of choices in your life. Mm-hmm. There's not one thing that will define you unless you make a series of choices that will define you, in a sense.
Right.
You know, for about 10 years, I was managing a lot of, you know, clients, and had a lot of, you know, jumping from one tour bus to the next, in a sense. And, you know, you really, the importance of having community, the importance of having good people around you that are also believers is a really big deal. You're not going to change the world by trying to fit in with a ton of people that do not believe, and there's 20 of them, and there's one of you. That was my life, though, is jumping from one thing to the next, making a choice that is not in God's favor but my own, and then ending up under a series of choices, just saying, you know, after a long period of time, going, where am I going with all this? Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. that's I've been there. So.
And then somehow you realized it.
Yeah.
And you made a conscious choice to do something different.
Yeah.
And that took courage, didn't it?
Well, I ended up benefiting. even to this day, I've benefited a lot of other managers in this business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was okay with that. That's completely fine. I'm friends with a lot of old manager friends still, and have a lot of, you know, just really good people that are around me as far as music industry contacts, if I ever need to make a phone call. So Yeah, absolutely.
That was a choice
just
you
put
made.
Put it down.
Though.
Yeah, just put
you
it down.
You just laid it down.
Yeah, just put it. Just put it down. And that's that takes a pretty tremendous amount of faith.
Faith.
Yep.
Yeah, I said courage, but it takes faith.
Yeah.
Faith gives you courage.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. It took a lot of faith. It took a lot of faith.
Right.
Yeah. There was a period of time where you just don't know what's next.
Right.
So.
But you put your trust.
That's correct.
In
yeah,
the Lord
and that's when
said, this is yours.
Yeah, and that's when you need to do that. I mean, you need to do that at all times, but during that time specifically, I did do that. Yeah, and it was encouraging because the interesting thing is that when you start to acknowledge and notice and pay attention to all the things that God does do for you, you kind of realize the chain reaction of events that start to occur. And the interesting thing is that momentum starts to happen in the right as well in a series of choices. It can go bad or good. And so there's a reason why, you know, things happen for a reason, and there's a reason why God looks after us and wants us to do the right thing, because he knows that he will multiply that.
Right, and because he loves us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know what the acronym for GRACE is?
What's that?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Absolutely.
And isn't that so accurate? It's so accurate. I met a little girl. She was like 5 years old, and I said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Grace." And I just went, "Oh." And I told her father the acronym that I just told you.
Right.
And he goes, "Oh, I've never heard that before. That is so wonderful."
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that you said was pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I went to a pastor's appreciation yesterday, and I was given, blessed, with a whole bunch of books. So I'm thumbing through the books last night, thumbing through the books today. And there was a story about, and the title of it was Pay Attention. And I get frustrated when people don't pay attention to even the littlest of details. And for husbands and wives out there, you know, pay attention to the little things, because the little things become big things.
Right.
And just when you said that, you know, you pay attention. The story was about Moses and how Moses paid attention to the burning bush in a different way than maybe someone else would have paid attention.
Absolutely.
And it was just an interesting story, and I don't want to go into all of that, but it was just funny because it was the Lord this morning when I was flipping through these pages, and that caught my eye. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Well, you're just in tune.
Exactly.
You know, you're just in line with, and you know, it's interesting once you actually quote unquote pay attention, for sure.
Right. For sure. Another thing that we were talking about on the drive, that was a great drive. I'm looking forward to the drive back home. And we were talking about preparation that, you know, you said, well, you know, you're not planning that far ahead.
Right.
But in order for God to use us,
right,
we have to be prepared.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And that's huge. And preparation is God gave us gifts and talents,
that's
you know,
correct,
and
yeah,
it's up to us to follow in those and be prepared.
And yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I did a lot of planning, and like I said before, it's like when you do a lot of that, and there's nothing wrong with this necessarily, but you just have to understand that that God is in control. You are not. And I kind of stopped planning in a sense. You kind of have this fight with you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to be here at this point in my life, but that's just not how it works. Now, you could probably force that scenario, and things might happen in your favor, but understand that it also might not, and it doesn't work, and you can't make things happen. You just have to understand that if you stay in tune with God, God will position you. And if you are prepared, God will put you in that place of preparation for you to do what you need to do best based on your skills. So
that's really good there.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, I have to remind myself of that because, you know, during the time, you know, I'm working and doing, you know, pretty much I feel like I'm doing everything. I'm always having to find that time to pray real quick and just understand that. And for some reason, the weight just gets lifted off and I can go back and just understand that I'm doing what I'm doing and God's just kind of looking after me and he's allowing all of this stuff to happen. So.
You know what I'm really liking? There's, you know, there is a little gap in age here between you and I.
Yeah.
Just a little one. Just kidding. Anyway, it's what's really wonderful, Lance, is your transparency and your vulnerability. And you said nothing's off limits today.
Yeah,
I said, is there
right.
anything I need to stay away from? And you said, nope,
yeah.
nothing's off limits. I'm transparent. I'm, you know,
right.
I'm here.
Right.
And that's so wonderful. And we all should be more like that.
Right.
And I just... It's really nice to be with you today because
you.
Of that.
Thank you.
And you said, you know, one thing that you really wanted to talk about is just being realness as being real as human beings, just to be real, because
right.
we don't have to be something else. You right. know, we're just who we are, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, let's just go back into you know, biblical times. I mean, Jesus is doing his thing, and he's starting to appear to people. He's not this person to take things lightly. I mean, a perfect example of this is, I believe, in John, when he's talking about, or he sees the temple being desecrated, in a sense. It has turned into a virtual swap meet, as you will. And he's not doing the peace and love thing at this point.
He's angry.
He's got this righteous, perfectly righteous anger, and he's turning tables around.
Right.
And he's what would think might be out of control to his disciples at this point, but he is basically telling people, this is not how you're supposed to be. I like that. I like that spirit. People need to wake up. People need to understand that Jesus, as loving as a God that he was and still is, he still is not afraid to tell it how it is. And let's be honest, he told it how it was and was crucified because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are to be like Jesus, and there's a difference between, you know, honoring Jesus and praising Jesus and being like Jesus. If we are to be like Jesus, we can't be hiding things. And, you know, as I get older, I start to shed one more layer about it, you know? So that's kind of why I think the way I do. So,
right. In the Bible, it talks about that if there's anything that you have against another person, if there's anything that's keeping you from or hindering you from prayer, to leave that at the altar, go and make amends with the person or whatever.
Right.
And that's, I think, calling us out to be honest with ourselves about how we're feeling, what we're thinking, and to be honest with those that we care about. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes to be truthful and honest, because it could be painful for either you or for that other person.
Right.
But the Lord wants us to be like that. He wants us to be transparent.
And I think you can still be compassionate.
Sure.
You
There's
know?
A manner in which we do these things.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think you can totally be, you know, still have the love in that speech,
sure.
you know, and make sure that they understand that as well. I think that you can go that route. So, yeah, absolutely.
In shows in the past, I've said you can always find someone to tell you what you want to hear. But you want to hang around those that are going to tell you what you need to hear.
There's a lot of people. I mean, especially when you start to, you know, even go up through the, you know, the corporate ladder, if you will.
Sure.
You get a lot of that. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lack of transparency, for sure.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. There is still time to call in if you'd like to call in and share a story or just input that you feel the Lord's leading you to tell the other listeners. 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. We're almost having to go to a break, and so I want you to be thinking a little bit, Lance, because I want you to talk to everyone about how it felt. You have a 2-year-old son,
yeah.
and we don't want to get really into this right this second, but you have a 2-year-old son, and you said that it was an amazing thing when he was born, but you also said that you're not with his mother anymore.
Correct.
And you said nothing was off limits.
That's
so,
correct, yep.
You know, I talk to people about the show, and when they come on the show, I say, I don't want to deal with head things. I want to deal with heart things.
Right.
Because I think we're in our head way too much anyway, and I think it's much better to be in our heart. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about that. So we will be back with more of The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Oh, talk about New Hope. What do you do?
Okay. All right, so we're back again, and I'm talking to Dave. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Bob, Jim.
Lance Brown. I've been wanting to call you Dave all day. That's so funny. I have a lot of Daves that I
like. Dave?
No, it's just, you know, when I like people, it's I know a lot of Daves that I really like. So you just, I really like you. So that's funny. It's a compliment. So I apologize.
Well, thank you.
Our name is really important, though. And that's another thing I just want to say is that when you meet people, it's really important you remember their names, even though I didn't remember yours. I'm so sorry. But it's very important to remember names. And people like to hear their names mentioned. So whenever you're talking to people, if you really want to connect with people, it's one way of doing it is saying their names over and over and over again. So... we're talking to Dave, I mean Lance Brown, just kidding. You knew that was planned there. He has a son named Ryland. I love that name, Ryland. It's a great name. Does it mean something? Do you know if it means something? Because it's not a real common name.
Yeah, it's basically from his grandmother. The grandmother's first name starts with an R.
Okay.
And it was just, it's a custom, basically.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Tyson is my son's name.
Oh,
and it's,
nice.
Back when I named him that, it wasn't like it is now. It wasn't popular, and it was before the biting off of the ear and all of that stuff. So kind of has a bad and a frozen food and fries. It's a long story. But anyway, so Ryland, let's talk about that. You're not with the mother anymore, but
correct.
You have this beautiful son named Ryland. So what do you want to say about the birth of Ryland? You said that was an amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah, obviously, I'm probably talking to all the parents at this point, but when my son was born, I saw him for the first time in an incubator, actually.
Oh.
He was 8 pounds, 2 ounces, mm-hmm. But he was having some breathing problems when he was born. Very scary moment, actually.
Very, very.
Ryland is my first and only child, and I... kind of had this unreal feeling. I almost felt like the moment that I laid eyes on him, I felt high. It's like a terrible term to say, but I just felt numb, or there's some sort of feeling that went over me. And then on top of that, I started feeling like that I had something next to me as well. It's been the only time that I've ever felt something like this in a supernatural setting. But I just kind of felt like that maybe God was kind of looking after me and just saying, look, like this is, you know, a beautiful time, but you know, a stressful time at that point when I was in that situation, but I'm going to go ahead and just take care of you and everything. But now, most importantly, you understand what I had to do for you. What I had to do for you was basically send my son down to spread the news and die for you. And just the known thought, I mean, in the Old Testament, they did a lot of sacrifices for God and stuff like that. I can't imagine killing anything, for one. But to even think about that in relation to my son, it just deeply upsets me. I mean, there's some sort of overwhelming feeling that comes with that. It's so hard to understand that, but at that particular moment, I almost felt like there wasn't any further explanation necessary at that point. I just felt like I had come full circle. Everything that I had been taught growing up, everything that I had learned in school and everything just kind of all of a sudden just came together. All at once. It was a beautiful time for me, and there was probably nothing, one of the just amazing moments in my life and deeply satisfying. So
I can relate because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the love that you feel. It's this overwhelming love that comes over you. And you can't explain it to somebody that's never experienced this. If somebody's not a parent, not a mother, not a father, you can't explain this love.
Well, you know, I was trying to explain it even to you. I know you can understand it, but I was like kind of stumbling over my words. It's kind of like, you know, your heart's beating and then you have a child, and then all of a sudden you feel like your heart just got put into a glass case all of a sudden, and it could be shattered at any moment. Mm-hmm. And you hurt for him. You love with him. Like there's every outpouring that you can possibly have in an emotional setting. You would do anything to make sure that he was okay. And that's the same love that I feel from God. That's the same exact love in that setting of, you know, and obviously a very probably way more powerful setting. But it's just, it humbles me greatly.
Right.
To have that feeling.
And I totally understand. And you didn't go through the labor pains either.
No.
But you still have the same love, you know, because it's and it's wonderful to hear this from a father.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some fathers that take it for granted.
Yeah.
That they don't understand that this little human being that they helped bring into the world does need taken care of and protected.
Right.
And as a man, that role as the father. How does that feel for you? That's someplace we did not go, and I'm putting you on the spot.
No, it's. I mean, you feel humble, but you have to feel confident at the same time. You know, and you realize just a couple of days ago, I was filming him on my phone, and he didn't know that I was doing this. But there's a little table. And I even posted on my Facebook, but there's a little table of him, and he's very focused on all the lights, and the ABC song started going, and he's starting to sing it. Now, he can't speak yet, but he knows the sound of it, and he's conducting, you know, with his hands in the air, like you would see a conductor conducting an orchestra. He's singing it, and it's just the cutest thing in the world. I mean, he's probably going to kill me when he hears this eventually, because, you know, he's going to be basically he's going to be two very, very, very soon. And he's going to be, you know, 13 tomorrow, and he's going to be,
you've got that right.
My
blink,
age.
Blink
next
of an
day.
Eye.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And I'm talking to Lance Brown, who I met at New Hope, which is the church that I'm attending, that I used to attend and I've come back to, and it feels like home and I love it. And I'm looking forward to the future of being there and worshiping and ministering. Lance, what do you do for New Hope? Because I don't even know.
Well, and New Hope is having a service, obviously, every Saturday at 6 p.m. and every Sunday at 10 a.m. But basically... I a couple years ago felt that, and I still do, that I feel like serving is a very integral part of who we are as human beings. I would even argue that that is probably one of the main purposes of why we're even here on Earth. But basically, I went to my pastor. His name is James Kraft, and he's just this. Just really energetic. He really, really passionately wants to get that word out of encouragement. He's very, very just, he sits at the pulpit really direct, and I love it. I love his directness. I love how he's just out there and he's getting it. I went to him one day and I said, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing, and I would like to help in my own way. And, you know, I'm a marketer by trade. So we had a meeting and a couple of, series of things happened, and I started doing voiceovers for all the slides. I started putting my input into, you know, their Facebook and their Twitter stuff and their website stuff. And they are developing a program called New Hope One, which will be on Saturdays. And it's just a different take than their Sundays. And it's going to be more of kind of, you know, they're going to try some things. They're going to do Skype interviews, or they're going to Skype in guest speakers, something they wouldn't do on Sunday necessarily because the crowd would probably be a little bit more diverse. But that Saturday night is, if you're looking for a church in the area at all, you should definitely check out it's newhopewestcoast.org.
Right. Well, pastors, if you're listening, or, you know, congregations listening, and you want to hear this direction, it could be helpful because we are syndicated and we go a lot of different places. So it's not local for everyone. So on the grand scheme of things, looking at it from a larger perspective, what is it exactly that you guys are going to do? You said the Skyping, but what else? Because I thought it was really great. I'm intrigued and I can't wait to go. And I'm not in the young group because it seems like it would be kind of an attention getter for people that are younger, but also for people that aren't saved yet, because there's things that are going to draw people in that maybe wouldn't go just to hear worship and hear a message or get food at the food pantry or something. You know, it sounds like you've got other things going on that are going to be exciting and fun. And
there's music. There's going to be music, you know, after basically. And, you know, I believe Evan Kraft, who is one of our artists at the record company, will be performing there. I think I actually don't know when. I know another artist of ours, Marlene Brehm, will also be performing there on the 17th. And somehow I got roped into doing the acoustics for it, so I'll be playing as well. So it's just kind of a hobby of mine.
That's for pastors, churches. Church. You're going to have bands there. He said something about a local dealership has offered to wash cars, which is wonderful. I mean, it's thinking outside the box.
The first 50, actually.
Basically, thinking outside the box. That's what it is, because I know a lot of you can't make it to this church. So. He's loving to advertise New Hope, and that's great too, because, you know, we want to grow and we want to get the word out, and that's great. And he's so passionate about this, so it's awesome. So that's really good. So you're doing all the voiceovers, or a lot of the voiceovers, and you're marketing this whole new program and whatnot, which is exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. That's going to be wonderful. So, what's your favorite scripture? What scripture is like? You're hanging on to. It's like scriptures, they come and go, because not always are we at the same place, you know.
They really do come and go.
They do.
As you can tell, I have a ton of tattoos.
I didn't say a word.
I have a lot of tattoos, but hopefully.
I didn't look at them really, because I didn't know, you know?
Well, I mean, the quick story of it is.
Hang on, just so the listeners know, you have a long sleeve shirt on that you've rolled up.
Yeah.
And so these tattoos that you can just barely see are just on from the wrist up towards his elbow. And I don't know how far they go, and I don't want to know. Anyway, so what are those tattoos, since you brought it up?
Well, you know, when I first actually started getting tattooed, I thought there was probably two things that were going to remain permanent in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One was family, and one was my relationship with God.
Okay.
So that's what's on me, basically.
Okay.
So
what are they? I mean,
they're very direct.
Colors,
I mean, they're very direct. They've actually been a good witness, to be honest.
Yes, and they can be. I know somebody else that has a tattoo that he uses as a witness.
Yeah. It's been, I've had certain people that look at me and go, oh, that's intriguing, because, you know, I have you know, Jesus fish on here, I have the dove of peace on here, I have the cross on here, I have
I have to know, do you have a butterfly on there anywhere?
Hands, no
that's my logo, that's why I asked.
But yeah, so it's basically family and God, basically,
right? So scripture.
And the reason why I was telling you about the tattoos is that I had a Bible that was tattooed on me, and I had a little banner that was set on it, and I was going to put a piece of scripture on there. But you said something earlier that I feel all the time, is that I don't have one necessarily. Right now, I'm reading Ezekiel right now in the Bible, and you know, I'm actually reading a lot of the prophets, basically. It's just an amazing time during that time. But somebody said something, I think, on Facebook that just really got me, like, and it's perfect. And it's Mark 5:37, and it's about having your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes, meaning do not overcommit, probably. I would imagine has something to do with that. Make sure that if you are going to do something, you are going to actually put an action behind that as probably a good witness.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be flaky, and just, you know, all that stuff. So,
It's also a form of integrity, I think, because it talks about that you don't have to say, I pray on a stack of Bibles, or, you know, you don't have to say, you know, all those other sayings. It's just your yes should be yes. You don't have to say yes, 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 and again, yes.
Right.
And another thing we were talking about is overcommitting.
Yeah.
Because I had that. Imagine that. I would overcommit because people would come to me because they say the 20-80 rule, where 20% of the congregation, or in business too, do 80% of the work. So you have these busy, busy, busy people that are doing so much. And if you want something to get done, you ask the busy person why, because they get it done. Right.
Right.
But the thing is that people get burnt out and people just can't keep doing. And from me personally, I learned that not always am I the proper person. Even though somebody might ask me to do something, it might not, and you had a comment about that, and I loved what you said, and you need to say that again. But not always is it for me to do it. But I just had a hard time saying no, because I thought, oh boy, they must have prayed about it already. They must have gotten a word from God saying, yes, Sue Freeze is supposed to do this. So I said, okay, you know, and I just figured out a way to get it done. And man, I was tired at the end of the day. Something you said was that by maybe us saying yes.
Well, it takes away from something else that God might want us to do, actually.
And take away the blessing, maybe, from someone else.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I was always, like, when I first got into this business, I was always Mr. Yes, 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 because you're young, you want to achieve, and you want to, yeah, you just want to just be busy. And then after a while, when you start to become successful, you realize that you have to say no to a lot, you know? And so that kind of, you know, got me into a place where I thought, you know, maybe I will say yes to a few things. But you have to say yes in a way where you're not just saying yes. You'll burn yourself out. And it does actually have a reverse effect. You actually end up taking on so much that you're probably clogging the will of God, basically. So I've taken up things that I didn't think I would even do again. I started playing guitar again.
That's awesome.
I started promoting certain events again. Obviously I stay very busy with, between my son and, my work environment and stuff like that. So, but, the point is that I'm always looking, for God to basically show himself so I maybe could, you know, serve, in a different reason. So.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and I'm talking to Lance Brown, and we're talking about, you know, he's been in the music industry for a long, long time, and he hit highs, he hit lows, and he's decided to, you know, really follow the Lord and let the Lord lead his path, and he doesn't plan so far in advance, but he is prepared. And he also said that he went to master's college and whatnot, and the reason you did that was why?
Well, you know, I was originally, I went to, my parents actually put my sister and I at the Crystal Cathedral Academy is what it was called. Obviously home to the Crystal Cathedral out there in Orange County. But basically I got familiarized with private school and just loved the fact that you could actually pray before you started school during the day. It was very intriguing to me. I loved it. I just loved that, because when I went to public school, I realized that did not exist, and it was completely different. So when I had an opportunity to go back, I had set my eyes close to where I was living at the time, which was in Santa Clarita, and I went to the master's college for a couple of reasons. One, because I wanted to go back and just have that community while I was learning. And two, I didn't know if I was going to go into maybe some sort of pastoral duty or something. So I guess you could say I was kind of positioning myself, not knowing what I wanted to be in my life, just kind of positioning myself there just in case I got the call, if you will.
And that helped you do that to where you have a confidence level now. So,
right.
I sense, and you've pretty much said this, that you are asking God to guide your steps and that we're to serve the Lord. And I'm sure people, you've seen a lot of things in your 36, 35 years.
Oh, hey, don't age me now.
Okay. Oh, should not do that. Yes. So in your 35 years of life, you've seen a lot of things because you've been a lot. You've been around the block a couple times.
Yeah.
At least a couple times.
Yeah.
So you've witnessed to people.
Yeah.
And there's a confidence level that you have now because you know who you are and you're true to yourself. And you have a confidence level because you prepared.
Yeah, you know, and I think my preparation so far has been me working with music and my ability to try to get the word out about music. Now, I wasn't doing that necessarily with music that had, you know, lyrics of hope and lyrics of confidence and positivity and things that had to do with Christ, but I always wanted to use music just for fun, but I ended up using it, didn't know it at the time, but I ended up using it for, you know, as a witness. So.
Right. Now, you might not be able to come up with this, but can you remember a time when you were in a situation where the door just got opened, whether it was your tattoos or whatnot, to where you witnessed to someone without, you don't have to name names if you don't want to, but.
You know, nothing necessarily jumps out, but there's been a few times when I will just walk down the street or anything, and you know, whenever I'm wearing short sleeves or whatever, and I'm just so happen to talk to somebody. You know, I was talking to somebody. I was at I think I was at like a surf shop or whatever, and this person kind of asked me what I did, because you know, I get that question a lot, or you look like somebody. I always get that a lot too, but. I got asked, like, you know, who does your tattoos or whatever, and it kind of in a way opens up. I say, hey, I've worked with this band, I've done this, and what do you do now is the question. That's what really leads me into it. So that's actually a really cool thing for me to witness to. So, and they kind of look at me a little different, because it's just so funny, the word Jesus and how powerful that really is, because the moment you mention that, good or bad, it has a powerful connotation to it. And I love it. I love it. I love to see people's reaction to it. And I'm not forcing myself on people. They genuinely ask me, and it kind of organically leads in. So I love it. I think that's for me, that's a really great way of witnessing.
Can you remember one time where you were like your lowest low? Can you remember a lowest low? And
Yeah. I mean, I remember... you know, I know we were talking about how, you know, I put my business down.
Uh-huh.
That was very scary for me, because at the same time, you know, I was also married, and I was going through just tragic times as far as that as well. And the combination of it and kind of the stress around that really was really pretty low. Pretty low. It kind of almost spiraled just like that. 1, 2, 3. And that was a pretty low time for me. But that's going to happen. It's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to, you know, anybody that's listening. I mean, it's going to happen to you tomorrow. You know, the point is not that it's going to happen. The point is that you're going to look to God to be prepared to put yourself and praise Him no matter what. It does not matter whether your circumstance is low or high, because if you think you have problems, the person that is, you know, very wealthy also has problems. You know, the person that is destitute also has problems. We all have them. The thing that unifies us is our hope and our faith. And that's why, in a very encouraging kind of sense, is why, you know, when I was in that situation, why I was, you know, fighting, but looking to God, basically.
We have 2 minutes left, and that was really good there. Thank you so much.
Thank
because
you.
That was heartfelt, and I just love that. Just like, oh, tugs at my heart.
Thank you.
You know, you said that you, when you married this woman, that it was in your own flesh, it was you, you know, making a decision that you woke up one day and decided,
yeah,
I want to be married now.
Yeah, it was kind of how it was. I mean, it was, you know.
And you said you wouldn't suggest that.
Certainly not. I mean, that's it's a classic case of not letting God do His, you know, do His will. Basically,
right.
I mean, it's a classic scenario of just saying, "Hey, I have this. Now I'm going to do this, no matter what." And you do that, and there's consequences severely. And you know, it might work out, but if you just keep going down that road of taking and tackling on your own. Trust me, there's a lot of fails in that.
But you're forgiven, and God gives you grace.
Yes.
And you didn't use the word reset.
Are you thankful of that?
You didn't say reset. You know, you said that numerous times you have to come back to. What was the word you used? It was a reword.
Just a reconfirmation. probably.
You have to come back. I don't remember, it's like a reset.
It's just like, you know, you mess up and you know, while you're a kid and you're a child of God and you have to reset that in that sense,
right.
You know, and God's already taken care of that. That's the beautiful thing.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Feels great.
Right. So will you get married again?
I would like to. I'm not in a rush anymore. You know, at first I was in a rush, and I'm not in a rush anymore.
And you're going to do it differently this time.
Oh, absolutely.
So is Lord going to be in control of
that?
Oh,
absolutely.
So are you asking Him now to guide you and you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you praying for your future wife now?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
That's really awesome if you're doing that. That's good. I pray for my kids' spouses every day since the day they were born. Actually, when they were in the womb. So I recommend that for you with Ryland. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next week, God bless you. Love you. Bye.
Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.